years. That's still just the beginning.
We're still babies. Barely toddlers.
For real?
Do you think we'll make it to a retirement home?
Maybe. In this economy? No.
We can't afford that.
No, we can't. Especially because this podcast, which is Haunted or Hoax, doesn't make us any money right now, but that's fine.
It's not a very lucrative thing that we're doing.
No, but I'm Kristen.
I'm Jennifer.
And we're so glad we're here.
You know, even if it doesn't make us money, we enjoy doing it. So
yeah, I guess this is an excuse to talk to each other.
Because we need one of those.
Yeah. But talk to each other for like hours on end. And then when our husbands are like, what the hell are you doing? We can say we're podcasting.
Get out.
Get out of here. But I don't know if you noticed right before we jump into the story, because I don't know if everybody like listens to our sage moment. So I'm going to mention it here now. I don't know if you noticed, but I DM'd a former Vanderpump Rules cast member, Stassi Schroeder Clark, because I've been listening to her podcast, and I always know that she's like likes true crime, murderer, haunted.
So like kind of in this realm.
In this realm, she really likes haunted houses, and she went to a séance on Valentine's Day with her husband, and like I was listening to her podcast, and she really also likes like historical period dramas and like loves Googling and looking shit up when she's watching historical stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, this podcast is perfect for her if she would just listen to it. If we could all be friends and she could come on our podcast and talk about her favorite haunted house. And I unashamedly went one step further, and she has this episode on her podcast called Pour One Out. And she has a hotline. You can leave a voicemail to ask a question. And I left a voicemail. And I was like, please come on our podcast. Also, what do you think Lizzie Borden actually killed her parents? Thank you. I love you. Goodbye. So if our fan base wants to leave voicemails for her on her hotline and tell her to listen to Haunted Hoax, I'm not saying to do it. Just saying maybe.
The option is there.
I'm manifesting her reaching out to us.
I thought you were going to say she's coming on the show while you're in Japan.
No, I know I wouldn't do it without you. I'd be too scared. But I just listen, everybody on Vanderpump Rules who has been on there and will be on there is problematic in some way. But she is a haunted housewife just like us. And I just really want her to just at least listen to our show and be like, hey, I listened to your show and it's pretty cute. And we'll be like, thank you. So, you know, I just wanted to mention that. So if anybody has any ties to Stassi, let her know.
You never know.
And maybe she'll like this episode, which is about the Heilbronn. I'm going to go heel. Wrong.
We all know how good I am at pronouncing stuff.
Heilbronn Mansion.
Heilbronn.
Oh, I didn't think about that one. it could be Heilbronn. And this is in Delaware County, but it's in Pennsylvania, which could be confusing. It's not in California.
No, we did the right one, guys.
We did the right one this time. And we are doing this one because it actually has a book, a nonfiction.
I like how your pinky goes with your quotation.
I know. My pinky has to be involved with everything. It's like listen.
Three quotations.
I can't do it. Listen. Okay, listen, though, all right? This has happened to me since I was a kid. My pinky will not like be left out of any situation. When I drink from a water bottle, when I drink from a cup of tea, when I drink from like anything, it's like right up there. When I like try to like do anything with my hands at like hand symbols, I couldn't be a gang member because my pinky would just ruin every little sign I was trying to do.
Your ASL is super confusing.
Yes. It's just like that little flare. It's like a little tilde or whatever. Yes. But listen.
I love it. Chris's quotation marks have three, not two. You know,
It's just fancy. It's a fancy
It
quote.
is. It's like a cursive quote, just a little
Yes.
swoosh at the end.
Yes. It's a smooth quote. But it has a nonfiction book called Night Stalk, The Mansion, which is supposedly nonfiction, very much like Amityville and some of the other places that we have covered. The Warrens have nothing to do with this place, though, which is surprising.
And almost to tell.
True. Did we read this book? No, we did not. But you know what? I did look for it on my Libby app and it's out of print. So there was no copy for me to borrow, supposedly.
You can't find one in the library at all?
No.
Wow.
Yeah. Is that crazy?
That is weird.
No. At least not in my library. Maybe you could find it in one of your libraries, but mine did not have a copy. This is Florida, so that's not surprising. Don't give me that look. We know what we are. We know what we're living in right now.
Just a couple of steps behind A Handmaid's Tale at this point.
For sure. But the story goes, from what I've gathered from other sources that are not this book, there was a conflicting article because I found one that said the site of an old mansion along Rose Tree Road. There supposedly lived a family who one day found their daughter dead in nearby Ridley Creek. The death was blamed on a servant who worked for the family, and he was immediately hanged in a tree outside. And that the mansion has supposedly three different ghosts. One's a little girl that haunted the upstairs. The second was the girl's mother, whose presence was felt in various locations. And the third was the servant that was hung, who haunts the driveway and front porch. The person who wrote this article said, "I have a friend who says as a teenager, he and some friends entered the abandoned mansion on a dare. As they entered a certain part of the house, their flashlights all went out at the same time."
Ooh.
Very spooky.
Hopefully they weren't upstairs.
Yeah. And then this person claimed that in 1987, the mansion burned down and it was rebuilt. But the only thing that remains of the original mansion was some stonework, piers, walls, and the foundation. Current owners do not report any evidence of haunting. However, a housing development has built on the site of the old estate grounds, and some people have claimed to see shadow people lurking around Heilbronn Drive in the wooded areas. And then Harold Cameron and his wife Dorothy moved into, I guess, a mansion on the grounds. Not the original Heilbronn mansion, but I'm not really sure. This article was a little confusing on where exactly they were. And they said like the mansion was normal by all appearances, but after they moved in, some things started happening. Like footsteps were heard throughout the house, outside doors opened on their own. The doorknob to the basement jiggles as if someone's trying to come up and out of the basement. The family smells odd odors, which I can assume, since I haven't read the book, there's maybe a sulfuric scent, which we all know means demons. Usually when somebody smells odd odor, that's not like a fart or something. It's usually sulfur and it's usually demons.
That doesn't mean you blame your farts on demons.
Yeah, don't do that. Just, if you smelt it, you dealt it, just own up to it. Apparently, Harold hired a man named Enoch to help out around the place and learns from him that the mansion had been around since the 1800s. There's a lot of disturbances that had happened there. And the person was kind of just summarizing this book for me, but not very well.
Oh.
They said Harold and his family do not leave, and with everything that happens, and they kind of just endure it all as they have no other place to go. And they stayed there for 2 years with all the activity. And the only thing that really scared Harold, I guess he was like more on the skeptic side from what I've gathered, is that he received an unwanted visitor one night as a woman appeared out in his front yard telling him that she had been kidnapped and had escaped the clutches of a couple of men who had tied her up down the road next to an old farmhouse. When he let the woman call a cab, as she insisted that she needed to call one, and the cab picked her up, he felt something wasn't right. He came to find out that the woman might have been a ghost, as things did not add up with her being kidnapped and some other things that were just off about the woman gave them the family like pause of whether she really existed. But like, if she called a cab, like she used your phone, that's like
Yeah, like
not ghost activity.
who did the cab pick up at that point?
Exactly.
And did she
Hold
pay
on a
her
second.
fare?
I just have a disclaimer that you might hear a baby talking to a seahorse in the background of this recording.
Hopefully he's saying something like, with friends like these, who needs an enemies, but
Right. Exactly. He's telling the seahorse not to touch the butt, but and he's definitely skeptical of this whole story of a kidnapped ghost woman. And when I heard this story, I had to like recheck. I was like, this is Pennsylvania, right? This isn't like the whatever, like Long Island, Rhode Island. Like, do you remember that story about the serial killer and that girl, that woman who like that sex worker who like had run from house to house knocking on a door that somebody was following her and getting her, and like then she kind of disappeared?
wasn't that the same story with the Jersey Devil?
No, this is
No.
different.
Oh.
This is like a true story.
Oh, no.
So this just reminded me of that, and I was like, is this like a retold story of this true crime murder? But no, it's not. Different place, but just really strange and vague. Which is like, I'm guessing this person kind of just skimmed did a me and skimmed through this book and then like tried to put it together. And Harold Cameron supposedly lived in this mansion in the 1960s. So this was before the 1987 burn down of the mansion, supposedly, that all of this was kind of going on. And then I saw another article that said that this home was built for the Murchison family, and the Murchison family's home, the original mansion, burned down a few years after its construction. So not in 1987, much earlier, I guess. The original home that sat here was burned down, and seven Murchisons died in the fire, and their crypt was built on a hill under an oak tree. And then another home was supposedly built by the Edwards family, and the graves were within view of that house, which is creepy.
They just like to keep an eye on their family members.
And like, it was so much so that but I don't think that, like, the Edwards were related to the Murchisons, but maybe they were, I don't know. But like, the new place was built on the blackened foundations of the old house.
Sounds very dramatic and also maybe not up to code.
Yeah. Also, like, why would you, like, obviously something was wrong. There was fire that burned the whole thing down. Maybe you don't use the old foundation of that place. Just saying. It was also supposedly a stop of the Underground Railroad, but I don't know where they got that source. And I don't know what has to do with ghosts. It's just something that they said
Like a little
on
fun
the thing.
fact.
Yeah, fun fact. Apparently, in 1864, this is a trigger warning because this is going to be a crime involving a child. 14-year-old Margaret Edwards was supposedly essayed and murdered under a large maple tree in the yard of the mansion house. She was lured out of the house by Elisha Colbert, a farmhand on the estate, and he was lynched by the other workers when the body of Margaret was discovered in the creek. So I think that this is like the same story I got from the first article, but with more detail. And then her distraught and increasingly unhinged mother began spending her time in the library, which had been Margaret's favorite room of the mansion, and she eventually hung herself from a beam above the third floor window, some
Terrible.
say nearby the creek. Very, very sad and awful if it actually happened. I don't know. And all three spirits are said to haunt the mansion and its grounds. This one goes into a little bit more detail, like Colbert and the mom are heard, but they're not seen. Like Colbert's footsteps were heard approaching the front door, while the mother is said to retrace her final act sometimes and just wanders the halls looking for her daughter at others. And they're heard.
He's telling a story too.
Samson.
He did his research.
They were heard going from the library and up the stairs to the third floor where they end. It's also said the library is like her domain, and if anyone enters it, a book would fly off the shelf and hit the floor to show her displeasure of an unwanted visitor. And Margaret's the only spirit that's actually seen, and she's reported seen upstairs. I then found this Ghost of Delaware County blog that has this place, and I read some of the comments because there's actually a few comments on this particular blog. And in 2010, somebody said, "I entered the abandoned mansion one night back in the 80s. It was full of furniture and other belongings, as if somebody left in a hurry."
Always. Turns out people just leave and leave their crap behind every single time they move.
Right. Yeah. Just I wish I could do that and then just buy all new
Seriously.
stuff.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? I actually kind of did that when we left from Atlanta and came to Florida. We did get rid of about like 90% of our stuff, and it was like really freeing.
But did you leave it in your apartment?
No, we left it in the dumpster outside of our apartment.
My point.
True. Yeah, it'd be just nice to, okay, I'm just going to close this and leave it, and somebody else can worry about it.
Leave it for someone else to pick up.
Right. And this other person said in 2012, "I never knew this house was so famous slash infamous. When I was in maybe the 5th grade in the 70s, my mom and her friend went there to buy antiques. I got hauled along, I guess, to help load any large things they bought," which, child labor, if you got them, use them, I guess. "And we get there, and a rather creepy woman answers the door. They go upstairs to look at the stuff, and I get left sitting in a room to the left of the front door. I sat there for what seemed like forever when all I wanted to do was go," which we've all been there when our moms are somewhere we really just don't want to be. "They said the house felt oppressive and just sitting there was uncomfortable." So keep in mind, I am a cynic and not the sort to imagine things or give in to them. I was like, even as a 5th grader, you weren't like at least a little bit imaginative. And they said, "I was pacing and antsy and not my normal self. I got a bad feeling from that house and remember it every time I drive by. I saw and heard, or I didn't see or hear anything, but this was the only time in my life where I wanted to leave a place without any real reason." So I guess take that with what you will. She, again, this person was, I don't know if it's a she or he, but they were in 5th grade when they had this experience. And then somebody called Waveless in 2017 said, "It's been years since I've read the book, but that house scared me straight. We used to break into the house, illegal, in the early 80s. It was fully furnished as if somebody still lived there." Again, so like another story about it being fully furnished. "And we usually only went in the basement. We would always think someone was there because you could see a light shining from the outside, but when you went in, it was always pitch dark. One night, my best friend and I went upstairs and took a few items from the house."
Don't do that. Don't do
Don't do
that.
that. You're breaking and entering and you're stealing.
And you're bringing something back with you potentially.
So they brought it back to their parents' house. The next morning, we woke up and the items were gone. And a few weeks later, we went back into the house and all the items they had taken were back in their original places.
Don't take shit.
They were like, "Nope, yoink, let me take that back." They said, "I left running and crying and never set foot in the house again." So the ghost taught them a lesson.
Good.
That would be another useful thing, besides just like shutting the door on your old place of living and just leaving all your belongings there and having somebody else deal with them. But if somebody stole from you, like your things would just automatically come back to you.
Or just instant karma for the people who do leave their stuff behind. They leave it behind and then it shows up in a place that they move to.
Well, that would be kind of helpful too.
If
If
they
you
left it
liked your
behind as
stuff,
junk,
oh, true. But if it
trash
was like
karma.
you were just too lazy to pack up your things and then just magically appeared at your new house, that would be great.
That would be nice.
But yeah, so those are the only things that I found, except for I found this one article that was talking about the guy who directed the new It movie. He apparently, as a kid, drove by this mansion or this place and had heard all the stories and the urban legends and said that he always got like a creepy feeling driving by this place, which I thought was pretty neat because now he's doing a whole bunch of horror movies. But he said it was like one of the inspirations for his now career.
Interesting.
But that is all I have. I
Huh.
don't know if you can
Well,
shed light on any of
we will see when we get
that.
back from our break.
All right, we'll be right back.
Be right back.
Hey guys, and welcome to Spilling the Crime, a true crime podcast hosted by
me, Umberto Mello,
and me, Jonas Grancha. Join us in this big adventure where we will be talking about crimes with a tipsy twist.
How this crime happened, I want to know. What the fuck is the unwrapped chocolate?
Her name is Sharma Melngelings. Magmar? Magmar meningitis? What?
Where's the dick, Lorena? Where is the dick?
Oh,
what is this?
Are those your enemies? Are they after me too? Do you ever feel like a plastic bag?
What the fuck? Oh,
And then he masturbated on the carpet.
Dangerous questions.
Why?
We do not agree with this. Carlos said that.
Don't compare. Like, what? Don't copyright us.
Don't copyright us. Yes, please don't block us.
So grab your glass, because the spilling is about to begin.
We're back.
Kristen.
Yes. Why are you shaking your head? Did you
I don't
do
think.
the same? Did you do the same place as me?
I did. I did.
Okay. Okay.
You think I would hold that in that whole break?
I know. I thought you were really kind of trying to
No.
distract me.
So I went searching for information on this place. I found the same place you did, Haunts and History blog. And they kind of broke it down to the best that I could find. There's no history on this place aside from the book. And I'm not going to read the book because we all know how reliable that history could be. But it did give the insight that the Philadelphia Inquirer went through this story, and the primary evidence against the tale of Margaret is in the 1870 census, 6 years after her alleged death. She showed up in the census and she was alive and well.
Oh, okay.
I also found, oh, cool. I guess I closed out of it. The only person in Pennsylvania named Margaret
Edwards.
Edwards, to be born in 1850, because if she was murdered in 1864 at 14 years old, she would have been born in 1850. She died in 1890 at the age of 39 in Forest County, Pennsylvania. And she had two children, and she had been married to Reverend John Edwards. So that means
She was married into that family, not born.
correct. Correct.
And a reverend.
But that's the whole state of Pennsylvania. Margaret Edwards, nowhere else in the state. I checked newspapers. No.
Nothing about like a fire or anything.
Well, so for the fire, let me back up. I'll get to the fire. So
Okay.
she, the blog goes on to say regarding the Murchisons that the grounds belonged to the Edwards clan since the 1660s
Oh.
when they bought 82 acres from George Smedley, and it stayed in the family until 1877. So the Murchisons
Didn't
wouldn't have
exist.
been able to live there, build their home, and burn down and die. They go on to say that the story is news to the Edwards descendants and also to the area historical society.
Oh, so like, oh, well, somebody clearly made this up because
Yeah.
we've never heard of it.
Which is like a weird, like it seems so specific.
Yeah.
So I don't really know.
Maybe somebody like heard it and like got it mixed up with another location.
Maybe. The mansion was burned down in the 80s.
Okay.
It was arson.
Oh.
And that's why there's a new construction on it. If you go to 559 West Rose Tree Road, Media, Pennsylvania, in Google Maps. I wonder if I can share this with you. Does that work? Does that show you the street view?
Yes, it did open it up.
Great. So if you go forward a little bit, you see like the wall around the house. You have like a stone house. That's what they mean by like the original stone wall from the property.
Oh, okay.
You go down. It goes down a while. Nice old rocks. There's like rocks in a hill. I don't see any cemetery.
Pretty house. Yeah, it does go down a little bit. Way away.
The property seems pretty.
Yeah, for sure.
But they built the house on top of it and then they parceled out the property to a developer. And so now there's multiple houses on the property.
That makes sense.
That's it.
That's all you have.
Yeah. I searched for
Hulbert and
the Edwards family's house, Kroldale. That was there in 1837. Nothing came up. I searched for Elisha Colbert. Nothing came up. The oldest relevant story for this area with the names was from like the 1960s. As far as the road goes, like any weird happenings on the road, there was a car accident in the 80s. Like somebody hit a tree and died. But that's it. Not a thing.
Nothing.
I'd say this is entirely made up.
Just for the book.
Yeah.
Which makes sense because this book was written in like 1977. So this is like the height, like I said, I've mentioned before, like this is like the height of like Amityville and like all these places getting books and getting coverage of like supposed hauntings. Mm-hmm. Do not make fun of my quotes again.
I wasn't making fun of them. I wasn't making fun.
Came all the way down. But yeah, so this is absolutely like somebody who was like, you know what? I can make money off of this.
That's what I'm thinking too. Yeah.
But like, even with like the Amityville house, like an actual crime did occur there.
And but like, they blame the crime on like a darker demons thing.
Yeah. But in like some of the other places that had things based off, like had books, like some other things could have been going on there. But this place feels like it's just like true fiction. Like nothing was really going on there to begin with.
Yeah.
It's just like an old place that they were like, this is old and this could be haunted.
Love the rock wall though.
Yeah.
Keep that. That looks great.
Yeah, this place is a hoax. Sad. Sadly, this place is a total made up thing. I mean, I'm not going to count people out for their own experiences. If you went here in like the 70s or 80s and broke into this place before it burnt down and you had an experience, maybe that's your karma for breaking into a house. I don't know.
But also, it's just our opinion, you know?
Yeah.
We're going to say this ghost story is a hoax.
Yes. This place could be haunted, but the stories are not real
by these
at all.
Stories. No.
No. But yeah, short and sweet.
Short and sweet. Sorry.
No, it's fine. Sometimes it goes like that.
Sometimes it be like that.
Sometimes it be like that.
What's your stage moment? Oh, what are we doing next week?
Next week, we are in. Okay, so next week we're going to New York. I promise you. We're going to go through our next location bunch and make sure that there's no double places.
I already thought that we had. I was confident until this conversation.
No, it is in New York. There's a place in New York and there's a place in Connecticut and we're doing New York. So fun.
What is your sage moment?
My sage moment is we got a new review on Apple Podcasts. A short but sweet one. And it's from Cody MCG1. And it was a 5-star review. And it says, if you like spooky podcasts with adorable hosts, listen to this podcast, which thank you for calling us adorable. I love being adorable. And thank you for your review. I love reading reviews. It makes my day. It makes my heart warm. It makes me believe that somebody's listening to us. So
our statistics aren't enough for you. You like to hear from the real people.
I like to hear from the people, hear their opinions. Even if they're not like, you know, if there's constructive criticism, I'll take it. Just don't be mean.
Be constructive. Don't be critical.
Yes, exactly. But I love getting reviews. So that's my sage moment. Thank you.
Thank you, Cody.
Cody.
For your review. We appreciate you.
Yes. What is your sage moment?
I have a joke.
Okay.
I shouldn't have said that.
Oh, okay.
Because now the setup is wrong. It's okay.
Okay, I forgot.
Did you know that I had considered being a phlebotomist at one point for a career?
I did not. I legitimately did. I know this is a joke, but I actually did at one point.
Did you?
Uh-huh.
Why didn't you?
I don't like the idea of sticking people with needles.
Yeah, I thought that too. That was my same reason. And then I realized that entire thought process was all in vain.
That was good. Like, that was a good back and forth banter. We made the joke better. That's very natural.
Thank you. Thank you
We're
very
Canadians.
Much. We are so funny. This is why we started it. And now we don't even banter like that on the show most of the time.
I know. We just kind of get into it. And I think it's because I'm like really fearful that people are going to think that we spend too much time bantering.
Mm. They do think that sometimes. Read our reviews.
But you know what? But you know what? This isn't all for you. Okay. This is also for us. So if we want to banter, we'll banter. We're going to banter more in 2024.
So I had a thought. Okay. And I think I'm going to make it my other mantra for the year, aside from not going above, beyond, or out of my way.
Okay.
It's the thought process of, is it bad or do you just not like it?
That's a good mantra to have. It's a good thought process.
When you're listening to something and you think, this is terrible, is it terrible or do you just not like it? Right. Sometimes it is terrible, but
this is not.
We're not expecting our stuff to be everybody's favorite, and it's okay if it's not, because not everybody's supposed to like everything. That's right. Fine.
And you don't have to listen.
You don't have to listen, and that's okay. But we appreciate you actually taking the time to listen. But the reality is, if you have listened this long and you don't like us, what the fuck are you doing?
Right. Yeah. Nobody's listening to the end of this anyway. So if you're like listening to this and like they banter too much at the end, like you could stop it anytime.
End at the good job, and you're good to go.
There you go.
Good job.
Good job.
We'll see you next week.
We'll see you next Tuesday.
Bye.
Bye. Thanks for listening. As always, we love getting suggestions from you guys. Be sure to send us your recommendations of stories to cover, locations to visit, ghost tours to go on, and all that good stuff. You can send it to hauntedorhoaxpod@gmail.com or DM us on social.
Yeah, you can find all of our links to social as well as episodes and blogs on our website, hauntedorhoax.com. And if you feel like helping us out, rate, review, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, or just drop us a few stars on Spotify. Bye.
Bye.